this morning to Romans chapter 5. I want to look at just two verses this morning as we continue to talk about reconciliation. We've talked about how it brings peace and such, but today we're told, which is just as important, very important, is that reconciliation itself is what saves us. And so we want to look at this passage together. He says, "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. For those who have been reconciled to God, we should certainly be able to find the same and be able to share the same with our fellow man and our fellow saints. The last few weeks we've talked about and have sought to answer one important question, and that question was this: what should we do when conflicts threaten the peace of the body of Christ? You know, it's real easy for us to say, it's not my fault, I had nothing to do with it. And I know that there are times that I've said that when I was in trouble and knew I was in trouble, not necessarily between something serious in the church, but in situations growing up. You know, I didn't have anything to do with it, but sometimes it's not always what you do, but it's what you do not do. And it's real easy to make a quick decision, a rash decision, and get yourself in trouble. And so today we want to look into the Word for the answers that we want and need in order to answer that question. But even as we do, let's remember that each of us have also needed reconciliation. As much as others sometimes need us to share it, we need to know that we have been given this opportunity at reconciliation by God. We needed it first before anyone else. And by the grace of God, we have found and we have been given that same reconciliation through the death of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to claim to be Christians, then understand this very carefully. If you are going to claim the title Christian, you have to also claim a desire to have the mind of Christ. And if you desire to have the mind of Christ, then you're going to also have to understand that that means that you're going to have to start thinking more like Christ. And even more importantly, you need to start acting like Christ. It is easy to say, I'm a Christian. I've never been to a new car dealer, to look at a vehicle, and you test drive, and they come in to work up the numbers, and they say, well, what do you, I need a really good deal. And they said, oh, what kind of occupation are you in? And I say, I'm a preacher. And they say, oh, I'm a Christian too. I've never had one to say, oh, I'm an atheist. And the reason they don't say that is because they want to sell me that car. They want me to believe that we have something in common, a common ground. And sometimes it is even fashionable in certain groups to say, I am a Christian. But being a Christian, or saying you're a Christian, having the mind of Christ, thinking the way he did, and acting the way he would, is not always the same. And so we want to look once more at the advice that God shares from the Word. Reconciliation is life-giving. To those who have sinned against God, which would mean all of us, it is life-giving. If we don't have reconciliation with the Father through the blood of Jesus, we are lost. And we can claim to be saved. We can claim to be Christian. We can claim to be one of God's, but we are not. And so we need to work into this area. And the points we want to look at this morning, first, freely forgive one another just as Christ forgave you. Have you ever said, I will do this, but, and put a stipulation on it? I will do this, but. I will forgive you this time, but don't do it again. Wouldn't we all be in trouble here today if we said to God, if God said to us, I'm going to forgive you of all your sins, but don't ever make another mistake? How long would your salvation have lasted you? What kind of confidence, what kind of assurance would your walk with God be? I don't know about you, but mine probably didn't get much further than the parking lot the day that I accepted Christ. I probably left the baptistry okay. I changed my clothes, dried my hair, did everything you do when you get wet at baptism. I probably had my first communion out in front with the elders. No problem, but by the time I'd gotten to the parking lot, I was probably having some feeling about something that I saw, heard, or what have you, and it didn't get very far, and I probably needed forgiveness for those some of those thoughts. So we're all into that boat. We all have needed the forgiveness of God and continue to need that forgiveness. But it begins, according to Scripture, with two things, kindness and compassion. Kindness here simply means easygoing and that which is moral. And so two important words there, easygoing, meaning easily to forgive, easy to get along with, being moral, taking a high moral road every single time. The Bible will say it this way, let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, being honest. Kindness is also something we learn by those around us which have the same. If you want to be or learn to be a kinder and gentler person, spend your time with kinder and gentler people. Don't spend time with people like Mike Tyson who want to gnaw people up and spit them out. Because if you're around that kind of person, you will tend to take on some of the characteristics of that person. Now, I'm going to tell you something y'all didn't know this, is I'm a strong-willed person. And in order to change anything, I had to spend a lot of time with a calmer and gentler type of person. And I have to ask for help on a frequent basis to stay into that realm more than the other. But not only do we need those, that compassion is important. And a compassionate by that, I mean having affection for your fellow man. Liking people, being around people, enjoying the fellowship of people. Now some people have a hard time seeing past the human side that each of us have. In other words, you say, you know, I really like people. But this one friend of mine, she talks too much. And this other friend over here, she won't say nothing. I have to pull everything out of her. And this other friend over here has this, and this other friend has that. Look, if you start pulling out things from all your friends, you're going to find something wrong with every one of them. Because you know what? Every one of them can find something wrong with you. What you have to worry about is when all of your friends point out the same flaws in you. Because that means that's something probably you need to work on, right? So we all have that human side. But we can still have warm feelings for others, even though we know they are not perfect, and neither are we. But I think having these key ingredients is imperative to finding success in your overall goal of being able to forgive as Christ forgives you. Forgiveness is our best means of being like God. When you are able to forgive, it is at that moment that you are more like God than you will ever be. Think about that. You will be more like God when you are a forgiver than at any other time. And this is true because God had to forgive so much with each one of us. And He did this so that we could have peace within our souls, but asks us to do what's needed in order to have peace with others. Now, I said this a couple weeks ago. I thought it was a good idea, and I'm going to call it today. Young people don't call some of the things that we have issues. They don't call them issues. They call it drama. And we have girl drama, we have sister drama, and we have mama drama and daddy drama, and we have just drama. And frankly, I don't know about you, but I don't like drama. I don't even like reality TV. So I don't like drama. I like, if there's something, let's deal with it, get it out there, get it in the open. If there's a sore, let's lance it, get it healed up, and let's move on. I don't like drama. And just because, if you ever wonder whether what I'm thinking, ask me. I'll tell you. You may not like it, but I'll tell you. Because I don't like drama. I don't like for you to think I'm thinking of something that I'm not thinking. Or I'm not acting a certain way and you think I'm mad at you because I'm acting that way. Just ask me if I'm mad with you. I'll tell you. I will tell you. But most of the time, if I don't speak to you, it's just because I overlooked you for a second. Or I was busy. I'm a one-track mind. If I'm changing a light bulb, I'm not going to be answering about any key component question because I can't take light bulbs out very easily without getting shocked. So I'm not going to be answering any real technical questions for you while I'm changing light bulbs. I'm not that good. I'm not multi-talented. I'm not going to do but one thing at a time. And so you walk by me, so, you know, Brother John, he didn't even speak to me. He don't like me no more. He don't like me. Well, if I don't like you, just ask me. I'll tell you whether I like you or not. But don't ask me when I'm busy with something else, because I probably just didn't see you. Okay? And that's just the way life is. We have those moments. We need to be forgive. We need to forgive others. We need to see past these things and get to the heart of them and deal with them. To do this, we have to look past ourselves and past our rights. Everybody wants to talk about rights. Everybody wants to talk about rights. All these people who want to talk about rights don't even know what the Bill of Rights are. Don't even know what rights they do have as an American citizen. We have the right to separate church and state. They don't even know what that means. Even these people that we send to Congress don't know what that means. When it was first written, it meant that there would be no state church. It didn't mean that you could not have things that were religious at the courthouse. It didn't mean any of that. Matter of fact, the laws of the United States of America are based on, guess what? The Ten Commandments, for Pete's sakes. And if we could obey the Ten Commandments, the courthouse would be empty on most days. But we can't. And because we can't do that, we find ourselves in trouble with one another. Because most of the Ten Commandments are not about how we deal with God. It's about how we deal with our fellow man. It's about the drama that we have with our fellow man. I like what old Phil said. He was giving a speech in his home church in Louisiana. He said, you know, all the problem comes down to the Ten Commandments in the courthouse. He said, because if you get caught stealing, you broke a commandment, you're going to be downtown dealing with it. You get caught cheating on your wife, she's going to have you downtown at the courthouse. It's all about the Ten Commandments. So you just get those right. Of course, we know the day is more than that, but the point of it is, he's right on the track. We don't want drama. We want to settle things. Get them settled. Get them right. When we talk about this, the word that means to hand over, and God did. God handed over so many things that we've done in His forgiveness that He handed it over, laid it aside, forgave, and put it around and left it alone so that we could grow in our relationship with Him. It means to cancel a debt, and no one has ever canceled a bigger debt than God Himself. You know, we look into this story. I've said this a couple weeks ago, but I just want you to hear it. It talks about the guy who gave up the talents, the many talents, over $480 million he forgave, knowing the man would never forgive it, could never pay it back. The same man who had received so much, $480 million worth of forgiveness, could not forgive a few thousand dollars to his fellow man. And therefore, he was brought back in and said, if you can't forgive them, then guess what? You're not going to be forgiven of my debt. I don't want to face God with the weight of my sin, knowing that He's going to lay it back on my account because I couldn't lay something down that wasn't worth the time it took to think about it. So freely forgive as Christ forgives, but then address the situation, but protect the relationship. You know, I say it this way. This is my country philosophy. If people would spend more time talking to the horse's head and less to the horse's patoot, you'd get so much more done. But most of us, we want to talk to the horse's patoot. We don't want to talk to the head and get it done with. We want to talk at it and send word to somebody. Don't be sending word to nobody. Go see the person. Look them eye to eye, face to face, toe to toe. Say what you got to say and get it said. In other words, I believe confrontation is necessary. Sometimes it's just necessary. Now, I know it's hard to believe this, but there are times that no matter how much you love somebody, you got to set them down and say, look, oh, this right here is not right. You need to revisit this. You need to think about it. You need to talk about it. You need to work on it. You need to do what? Look, I love my brother. My brother is my older brother. He's 11 years older than me. My mom had her children in reverse order. She had the smartest and the best looking last, and he's had to carry the weight of his two brothers all of his life. I set him down. I look him eye to eye, toe to toe. Now, he's my big brother. He's about this tall. I'm taller than he is. I'm wider than he is. And I say to him, look, this right here, this choice is not a good choice. I love you, but it's not a good choice. And you need to revisit this choice. And you need to think through this choice before you make it. And he looks at me and he says, I'm not your audience. And I said, yeah, right now you are. Right now I'm giving you a call, brother, and you're face to face, toe to toe. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to break him. But I want to help him. We know in the New Testament that Paul, on one occasion, confronted Peter. Now, the point of his confrontation is not important, but I'll set the stage for you. Peter seemed to be that when Christians were in and out. He treated them all the same, except for when he noticed that Jewish Christians were also in the presence of Gentile Christians. And during that time, Paul noticed that Peter sort of treated the Jewish Christians better than the Gentile Christians. And old Paul didn't like that, and he called his bluff on it. One apostle to another. He said, "Brother Peter, you can't be doing that. That's not right." And he had every reason to make that confrontation to his brother. We also see the confrontation between Paul and Barnabas about old John Mark and whether he would go on the missionary journey with them or not. And he was confronted by Barnabas, who said, "You need to forgive this young man and give him another chance." And Paul said, "I can't give him one right now." And so they went in separate directions, and more work with the Lord got done than if they had been together. There will be times which call for us to speak to a person about something in their life. And I'll be the first to admit, my door is always open. I've had people come in, close my door, say things to me which were absolutely necessary and they should have said to me. And I've had people come in because of perceptions and say things to me and find out none of what they perceived it to be was ever there. But at the end of the day, both of them resolved an issue for them or me or both of us that we could continue to work and serve in a congregation of people. You just have to focus on the issue and not make it personal. Get control of your emotions. Be calm and controlled. Now, you'd never know that I was a fiery little fellow, would you? One time a man came to see me, closed my door, and he said, "I understand that you're going to have some work done on the roof." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I want to do the job." And I said, "The elder said that we have, or the board has said that we have to have a bid before we make a decision." He said, "I've been going to this church for umpteen years. Why should I have to give a bid?" "Because that's what they've said. We have to receive a bid. If you get the elders to change their mind, I'm okay with that. But a bid is what we've got to have, and a bid is what we're going to get." And he left, and he came, and I thought, he didn't seem to be upset. A few days later, he came back in, and he was livid. And he was yelling at me across that desk, and I started laughing. I couldn't stop laughing. And he said, "What is so funny?" I said, "Because I'm looking at you, and about 10 years ago, I'd have been yelling right back at you, and I just think it's funny. I'm sorry." I don't think what you're saying is funny. I'm saying, you just let the Holy Spirit go, and He's gone. You're a Christian like I am. Rein the Spirit back in and let Him calm you down. Let's talk about it. And so he sat down in a chair and looked at me, and then he crossed his leg, and he scratched his head a minute, and then he said, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't be acting like that. You're right. I just kind of need to understand." We went on about our conversation. He got control of his emotions. We dealt with the issue. And I still love that brother today. But a relationship should never be sacrificed. Paul's confrontation did not affect the overall relationship with the other apostles. He still got along with Peter, continued to serve with Peter. He had no problem with Barnabas. They continued to serve together. It did not affect the fellowship of the gospel either. Things we do regarding the kingdom and as we serve the Lord are bigger than us. The kingdom of God is bigger than we are and always will be. This kingdom was started at the establishment of the church on the day of Pentecost. It will go until Jesus comes back, sent by the Father, and then the church will go to heaven and continue the business of the church. It is ongoing and eternal. You and I, on this earth, we're only here for a season. We only have one chance to get it right, one lifetime to get it right. So we got to do it right. We are in the people business, and we are on the world's center stage. Choices that we make in the church today, decisions we make, and the way we follow them up, if it goes in a certain way, it's going to be 5 o'clock headlines. That's what the world wants. They want to point out everything the church does that they perceive to be wrong by the world standard. But I got you news for you. I'm not being judged by the world standard. The judgment that I'm most concerned about is the standard of Jesus Christ. And that's written in the Word. We have to be better, stronger than the world, and how it tries to manage its conflicts with people. But here's the final part. The final part. We got to love people. We got to love people. And that means all people. And that means people when they're unlovable. Some people are unlovable. I don't mean all the time, but I mean sometimes people are kind of standoffish. I've got my mindset. I ain't going to change it. I got my head held high. I know I'm right. You're wrong, and that's the way it is. And if it rains, I'm going to drown. But I'm going to do it my way because I'm right. Let me tell you, God, people are God's best and most loved work. From the very beginning, He created all this world. He said, it's good. And then He created man, and He said, it is very good. Each one of us are made in the image of our God. And people are going to get on your nerves. You know how I know that? Because people get on God's nerves. But He still loves each and every one of us, even when we rattle His cage and disturb His nerves. But these folks that sometimes rattle our cages and make us upset, they're our brothers and sisters, no matter what. John Bunyan wrote these words, "Dost thou see a soul with the image of God in him? Love him. Love him." And later he added these words, "This man and I must go to heaven together someday." In other words, if you and I are brothers and sisters, we're going to be in heaven together. We're going to be in heaven together. And if we're not getting along, one of us, maybe both of us, will not be there. An older man that I respected a great deal as an elder in a church said to me, when there is a difference of opinion about the Scripture and regarding to doctrine, at least one of those brothers will not be there, maybe both. He's right. You see, it all comes down to what real love is. We have to decide to love people more than we love our own pride. You know, pride goeth before destruction, right? Pride before the fall, amen? You've got yours, I've got mine. Pride can be good. Too much of it is not good. It's not good. It's kind of like that icing on Krispy Kreme. What they put on a donut is pretty good. The second one is pretty good. If you lay down under the dispenser of that sugary concoction, I'd like to try it for 5 minutes. But after that, I'm afraid I would get too much. I would get too much. And sometimes we get too much of ourselves and too much of our own pride. If we do love people, we will be able to utilize the type of love which will cover a multitude of sins. And let's be honest, love helps us to overlook so many things around us, doesn't it? A little boy around Christmas time went into a shop with his piggy bank and he wanted to buy a blouse for his mother. And the lady said, "Well, what size is your mom?" He said, "I don't know, but if you hold it up, I will be sure to know that that's the right size." So she began to hold some up and he said, "No, smaller than that, smaller than that, smaller than that." And finally, the lady got down to like a size zero. And he said, "Oh, that's it. That's it right there." He bought it, opened his bank, paid it for it, and he left. The lady said, "That was so sweet." After Christmas, the mom came in. She was a very large lady and would not have dared been able to fit into that zero size. Why couldn't he see that that was the wrong size? Because his love didn't see his mama that way. He saw her completely differently. Growing up, there was a lady that worked for our family. I still to this day don't know what Miss Weedy's name was, but we always called her Miss Weedy Bonner. She was a black lady, and she probably gave me as many spankings as about anyone in my family, because she had a son that was about my age, and we played together and went to school together. And there were times that she would set me straight. And one day, we were somewhere, and Miss Weedy was with us, and one of the guys said, I hugged Miss Weedy goodbye. So, "Miss Weedy, I got to go now. Give me a hug, bye." And she hugged me and gave me one of her snuff kisses right on my cheek. And the guy said, "Why in the world did you let that black lady kiss you on your cheek?" And that was the first day of my life that I really realized that Miss Weedy Bonner was a black lady. Because all the rest of the time, my love was blinded. She was just a lady that I loved. And that I loved her. And I don't know whether Miss Weedy's still around or not, but I love that lady. If she's on the earth, I love her today. I was going into a store one day, me and my brother, adult men, walking in a hurry, not paying attention. I walked by her. She said, "Oh, no, you don't, John Orman. You come right back over here and you give me some of that loving." "Oh, Miss Weedy, how did I miss you?" "I don't know how you missed me, honey, because I'm wide as this door frame." But I turned around, gave her a hug. I still feel that way to her. You see what I'm saying? When you love somebody, you don't look at them the same way as somebody who doesn't love them and doesn't care about them. You see them all entirely different. To you, that love is perfect. It's sincere. It's from the heart. It's real. And that's all that matters. Let's be honest. Love helps us to overlook many things about many people around us. Think about this for a minute. Those who love oysters, you have to overlook something in order to enjoy oysters, don't you? You've got to overlook eating something that is a bit slimy and in its raw form looks like a rock. Who in the world looked at those rocks on the seashore and said, "I bet there's something wonderful to eat inside that thing," and took something and broke it and got in it and ate it? I'd have looked at it and I'd have said, "This right here might be good for throwing at somebody." I would have never known there was nothing in it to eat, but somebody discovered it and they ate it. And now people pay a lot of money to eat them ugly things. You know, we love people. And the Lord's will, we can have and work towards and maintain a peace within the body of Christ, whether they are an oyster or a Krispy Kreme donut. Right? Or anywhere in between. Friends, reconciliation is ongoing for every one of us. We are taking advantage of that which is offered to us through Jesus Christ. We are urged then to show that same type of reconciliation to our fellow man. We all have the need for it in our lives to give it, but also to receive it. And we're urged by the Lord to show it then to others as well. We now have our answer to the question. We know how to keep the peace within the body as conflicts happen. Not if, but when. God grant us the strength to handle it as God shares from His Word. You know, I hear people say, so-and-so and so-and-so. I listened to the radio yesterday. There was a couple that were in their 90s that were celebrating their 75th wedding anniversary. That's amazing. 75 years. Whoa, Nelly. And I hear people say, "We've been married 92 years and we ain't never had a cross word." But one of you is deaf and the other one's glad of it. Because in my house, there have been times that we've had differences of opinions. And times that I've had to walk away and rethink myself and learn those words, "I am sorry." And there have been times with Christians that I've had to say, "I am wrong. I am sorry. I was sorry about my attitude. I was sorry about the way I expressed myself." Whatever it was. And if you live, you're going to have to learn those words and swallow your pride and use them and learn to get it right. But you're not going to get it right every time. You're going to struggle with it because you are human. You are clothed in this stuff that we call flesh. And sometimes flesh prevails if we are not strongly prepared for whatever situation we may find ourselves in. This morning, the important thing is, where are you with Christ this morning? If there is a reconciliation that you need to make with God, then you're at the right place. And this is the right time, because now is your opportunity. If Christ is your Lord, then you and I make peace with each other. We make peace as best as we can. We don't always have success because it takes two wherever there's an issue. And sometimes people want to hold on to their things. But you make peace with it, and then God will make peace with you and for you as well. If you're here this morning and you need to make peace with the Lord because of your walk, then there's time for you to do something. We're going to go into two songs this morning. The first one's going to be "Come Just As You Are." And then when we finish that, we're going to roll right into 334, just as I am. Let's be standing.